Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And we do have now the New York City public advocate, Bill de Blasio, to be the answer man to the best of his ability. Public advocate, welcome back to WNYC.
This is what we're projecting to the world we're going to be working on a lot with.
Uh-oh. He's on the other line. All right. So, listeners, while we get Bill de Blasio up here, I will reiterate that we're going to try an experiment now. We're going to have the New York City public advocate to try to answer almost any question that you may have. And people have so many questions. 646-829-3980. And you don't have to be in New York City to ask a question. You know, as public advocate, it doesn't mean he's an expert on everything, but in his office, he kind of pulls together experts on all kinds of things to help people with all kinds of problems in the city on a daily basis. And so we're going to generalize from that to the region with various pieces of expertise. Maybe the best we're going to be able to do here in some cases is refer you out. And as kind of a disclaimer, the answer sometimes will be, I don't know, or we can't help you with that. And when we can't, maybe some of you other listeners will be able to crowdsource the answers and post them on our page or on our Twitter or Facebook pages. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to answer a question that comes up or to pose a question right now, we can take them there as well as on the phones or on Twitter at Brian Lehrer. On Facebook, use Brian Lehrer WNYC. Public Advocate Bill de Blasio, you're there. Hi.
Yes, I am, Brian.
Good. So let me start, and then we'll go to the phones. This comes from a listener in Tribeca who writes, I don't think there was a single Con Ed update all yesterday, and Lower Manhattan needs food, batteries, and charging stations for cells. How about coffee and food trucks? So there are several good questions in there. Is Con Ed communicating with the city about progress in restoring power?
Yeah, I think Con Ed has done a reasonably good job of keeping us updated, and I think the broad message is we should expect, you know, it's going to be several more days. In terms of food, the big point here is, you know, the National Guard and the state have amassed food resources, and we need to get them moving into affected areas, which certainly include Lower Manhattan, include the Rockaways, Coney Island, Staten Island, a lot of places hard hit. So as I understand it from talking to the state folks, that food relief hopefully is coming in as early as today.
Well, let's take a call with a question from Susan in Rye. Susan, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. I do not have electricity like many of my neighbors, and so everything in the refrigerator and freezers are going bad, and I have a great cooler, but I can't find ice to put in it. We need dry ice, and I know Yonkers had a big distribution yesterday that went out immediately. So I'm wondering if there's a way we can find out. I have no internet service, so I can't go online.
So the question is, where can you get dry ice?
And, Brian, what I want to say, I appreciate your preface. I'm going to do my best to answer when I have a definitive answer. Certainly want to talk to people about how they can get financial help as a result of, you know, home or business damages they've suffered. Dry ice, I don't know the answer, but we will get that back to you hopefully in the course of the show.
So let me bring in another guest who may be able to answer that question or the general question that that kind of implies, which is where, if we're running out of food, can we get food? And Jilly Stevens is on the line. She's from the group City Harvest, which tries to match extra food with people who need food. Jilly, are you there? Are you there, Jilly Stevens? Okay, we will try to get that. We will try to get that line up. We got
Brian, on the food question?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're working with the Food Bank of New York and with Coalition for the Homeless and others. There are mobile soup kitchens that have been set up by Coalition for the Homeless. We're working with Meals on Wheels for delivery to seniors. Food Bank is accepting food and donations and distributing, and we're plugging volunteers in there. So there is a real food apparatus that's starting to grow quickly as, you know, to get to people who need it.
Hiya in Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi.
What you got?
Hello.
Hi, you have a question.
I, Yes, I haven't had any internet access, and this is the first time I've been able to get through on the phone. And I have heard no updates about the Staten Island Ferry, if there was any disruption there, when we can expect service to resume, anything like that.
And I can tell you at least that according to the New York City Department of Transportation, the fleet is okay, but the ferry is closed. There was damage to the docks and the terminals. So that's the Staten Island Ferry. So, Public Advocate, have you gotten any estimate as to when that may be up and running again?
Same information you have, Brian. My broad assumption on this, as with subways, is you'll see the beginnings over the weekend of, you know, broader service. I think we all, and again, this is an informal but strong view I have, I think we all have to assume that it's not until Monday that things really feel like they're normal.
And we are told that the East River Ferry has partial service today from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. So not all ferries are out. It's the Staten Island Ferry that's out, and some others are running on limited schedules, right?
That's correct.
Let's take another call from Miriam in the Washington Square area. Miriam, you're on the air.
Hi. It really pains me to hear about all these other areas, but I'm really surprised at how little attention has been paid to south of 39th Street in New York. There are innumerable buildings, high-risers. Every building above six stories needs power to get water up to the roof, so that to the water tank, so the water can come down. We don't have water. We don't have water to flush our toilets. We don't have water to wash with or to cook with. We have, in my building, fortunately, there's a hose on the ground floor, and we can carry the water up the stairs. But what can be done? Can something be done to provide water? And what about these buildings that are over 30, 36 stories high? People can't come down 36 stories and then climb up again with water. That's impossible.
Public Advocate, what about that?
I think our best bet is that, again, I'm pushing the state to get a National Guard with water supplies and food supplies to come in to the areas most affected. I think it's Manhattan below 34th Street, in addition to places like Coney Island, Rockaway, Staten Island. I think that's the only way we're going to be able to do this on a large scale, and I agree with the caller. It's getting unsupportable, especially for people in big buildings. We can't do a business-as-usual response, so the only next step I know of is to get the state and the National Guard in.
And so the National Guard in that scenario would come in and state officials would come in and distribute food?
Exactly. They have reserve food supplies and water supplies, and I think it's at this point that that's the only viable way to get large amounts into areas needed.
Let me see if we can get Jilly Stevens on the line now on this same question from the group City Harvest. Jilly, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hello, Brian. Yes, I can.
Hi. So this situation is probably unlike anything City Harvest has had to confront before, but this is what you do every day. You match extra food with people who need food, right?
That's right, except what's different this time is that we're feeding a lot of people who are in dire need and who are outside of our normal population. But as you said, that's what we're here to do. It's what we do day in and day out.
And so what is City Harvest doing right now? How can people either help to contribute food if you take individual donations of food? And how can people get food from you if they need it?
Well, we were able to get five trucks on the road yesterday. We moved over 112,000 pounds. We're moving that food to our network of soup kitchens and food pantries in the five boroughs. As you might imagine, the difficulty is that not all of them are open. And so we're also working with elected officials to identify areas of high need and work with them to plan for deliveries of food. Today we have 12 trucks on the road. We expect to move over 200,000 pounds of food. We have seven agencies that we're delivering food to in Staten Island right now. We will continue our operations all through the weekend, obviously, just to keep the food moving. We have a lot of food coming in from other food banks in the Northeast region, and we'll work to get that food out as quickly as we can.
So are there locations that you can identify where people can go, or a place where people can find out locations?
We can. We're still in the process of identifying the agencies that are going to be open. So, as I said, some of them are still struggling to get open. We will provide you with a list of the agencies that we're moving food to right now. And any of those one-off drops that we're working to get set up with elected officials in high-need areas, we can definitely get you that, and we'll post it on our own website, which is cityharvest.org.
Okay, cityharvest.org, for those of you who have internet access and need food. Often that does not match up right now. It's people without power, largely, I think, who are going to start running up against shortages. But we will look for that list, and we will put on the air some of those places. Public Advocate, here's a question from a listener who tweeted us this one. This says, any reports of price gouging for gas or food, and is the office available to assist with insurance claims?
Yes, to both. Not too widespread, thank God, on price gouging. We've heard of some with car services. We've heard of some with groceries and with bodegas. Any experience people have with that, we need to know right away, and I'm going to give you the two ways to contact us. By phone, 646-535-1NYC. Again, 646-535-1NYC. Web is www.advocate.nyc.gov, advocate.nyc.gov. Any price gouging is illegal in a time of emergency. People cannot say it's because the market will bear it. That's not acceptable. We need those reports right away. In terms of insurance claims, FEMA and the Small Business Administration, there's other federal agencies and state agencies that provide relief beyond the insurance people have in many cases. It depends on the situation. The crucial thing for your listeners, Brian, they must document any damages they've had, whether it's a home or a business. Inventory any damages, take photos whenever possible. Do not throw out the items that were destroyed. Make the insurance claims immediately. They can go on our website, advocate.nyc.gov, in terms of linking to FEMA and other resources. The insurance claims need to be put in as quickly as possible with documentation, and then we can help to speed the process of actually getting the relief to people. One more thing, Brian, on dry ice. There is a distribution center in each borough. Go on the Con Ed website, coned.com, and they note one per borough where they're distributing dry ice right now.
Here's Janine in Rockland County with an idea. Hi, Janine.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for being our only link to the outside world right now. You're just saving my sanity with your coverage, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that, you know, it's Rockland County is pretty bad. I lived in Lower Manhattan during 9/11, and this is logistically, like, just, it's crazy up here. And if people have Wi-Fi access, if you have electric, just open your network so that your neighbors can, you know, get onto your Wi-Fi and will be able to access information through Wi-Fi, because we have what we're most desperate for is news, and we can't get it.
It's a really good suggestion. You know, people for security reasons usually lock their Wi-Fi. I guess we could be in some situations where people in some buildings have, you know, individuals without the ability to use their routers for some reason, and then they could access through other people's apartments. Is that what you're suggesting?
Right. I mean, even in my neighborhood, about half the neighborhood has power and the other half doesn't. And I have 3G devices that aren't even working. I'm barely able to use the phone. So if my neighbor, I can see my neighbor's Wi-Fi network on my iPad and I can't get into it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if people would just take a leap of faith and open up their Wi-Fi network and let their neighbors use them, it would be tremendously helpful.
I like it. Thank you very much. Mark in East Meadow, you're on WNYC. Hello, Mark.
Hi, this is Mark Brennan, and I am up from South Georgia. I got diverted from vacation, and our company, Nixon Power, provides generator support for Home Depot. And Home Depot has spent millions of dollars to keep their stores open. But what I wanted to say is that there are some generator basics that must be followed. If they are not, then your generator will kill you.
I'm glad you called. I just want to remind people that we were talking about this earlier in the morning, that with all these lines at gas stations, a lot of them are not just to fill up your car, but for people who had just bought generators for the first time, getting gasoline to refill the generators now. And we were talking about some of the dangers with respect to generators for people who don't know how to use them and are now fumbling with these generators and using flammable gasoline and et cetera and et cetera. So, Mark, I'm really glad you called. Go ahead with generator basics.
Okay, rule number one, when you get your generator, do not put gas in it and start it. Your generator is empty. It has no oil in it when you buy it. There is a quart of oil in with the generator. You must put the oil in like you're filling your lawnmower up. No oil, and the generator blows up in about 10 minutes. Rule number two is that only put extension cords to the generator. Do not plug your generator into your house ever. If you have appliances that need to be run, run one appliance at a time. Your first most important load is your lights. If you need to run a coffee pot, then plug that in. But the more things you have in your generator, the faster the fuel goes out, just like your power bill. So only run critical loads. Do not run anything else. And if the generator doesn't need to be run during the day, shut it off. The third thing is, do not run your generator in your house. Do not run your generator in your garage with the door closed. It will kill you. You must have the exhaust pointed outside in open air, period.
Mark, thank you so much for those tips. It is really great of you to call in with generator safety basics. I really, really appreciate it. And public advocate Bill de Blasio, this is a perfect example of the kind of ways that people could get injured or killed even after the storm as a result of the emergency conditions and all the ways that we're fumbling around with things we haven't had to try to do before.
Exactly right. First of all, Brian, just as I want to say, it's really wonderful to hear someone calling in to help people in this way and guide them. I also thought that the Wi-Fi suggestion was incredibly helpful. People are, I'm telling you, an amazing human response. I was out in the Rockaways last night, and things are very, very tough, but the extraordinary sense of volunteerism and people helping each other out and welcoming people into their homes. So, once again, New Yorkers are finding a way through. But you're exactly right. There's a lot of danger still out there. And the crucial thing here is that people need to especially be careful around any electrical wires that have come down, any water near electrical wires. There's still a lot of danger out there. There are still flooded areas in Staten Island, for example. You know, we lost some people over the last few days who, you know, could have been saved, and we've just got to be very, very cautious at this point.
And on that generator issue, we got a comment on we saw this comment on NJ.com, that's the Star Ledger site, which says, New Jersey is acting like they're the first state ever to suffer this type of damage. You don't run a generator 24/7, but when needed. Yet I have no doubt that people are running them constantly. So a little more generator advice. Kind of related to that, let me go back to the first comment that I read from a listener in Tribeca who wanted to know about charging stations. You know, we have cell phone vagabonds all over the area now, as I'm sure you know, public advocate, that there are people literally walking the streets looking for a place to plug in their chargers so they could get some juice for their cell phone so that they could call their loved ones or do whatever else they need to do. Is there a way that that could be organized and coordinated in the no power areas?
Yeah, we're going to try and work on that. That also is an area where I think some larger federal presence would help us greatly. I mean, let's face it, again, I think conservatively, I think all New Yorkers in affected areas have to assume it is 3 or 4 days more of great difficulty. I'm hoping that is not true in many areas, but people have to be prepared for that. If anyone has the option of getting to friends or relatives, you know, I think people should take that option. But in terms of your question, what we're going to try and figure out is if that is another example of where additional federal resources could help and could come in with some, you know, generator trucks or something that would allow people to plug in and get service. Of course, Brian, as I'm sure so many listeners are experiencing, I'm experiencing, you go to some parts of the city and you have plenty of charge, but you can't get cell service or BlackBerry service to begin with.
We are just trying to answer your questions, folks, and we'll continue with New York City Public Advocate Bill de Blasio. And also joining us will be Patricia Smith, the First Deputy Commissioner of the Human Resources Administration. Our call in line for your questions about anything with respect to how to cope with the aftermath of the storm is 646-829-3980. 646-829-3980, or post your question to our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, or tweet at Brian Lehrer, or use Brian Lehrer WNYC on Facebook. And we'll keep doing this up until when the mayor starts his news conference coming up sometime in the coming minutes. This is special coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. I'm Brian Lehrer, just trying to answer your questions in this segment of our coverage. We're taking your questions on the phones and online and social media, and we have New York City Public Advocate Bill de Blasio, who's a pretty generally knowledgeable guy, and if he doesn't know the answer to things himself, he at least might be able to know where to refer you to for some of your questions. And now Patricia Smith, who's the First Deputy Commissioner of the New York City Human Resources Administration. And Commissioner Smith, thank you very much for coming on with us.
Well, thank you for your coverage. It's important that people get the information they need.
And let me follow up on a call that we had earlier in the show, and now a related question coming in via Twitter that I think you might be good to answer. This says, was horrified to hear this morning that some grocery stores in poor areas aren't accepting EBT. What can be done? EBT, of course, food stamps, and those cards generally get automatically refilled electronically. If stores have their power out, some are just accepting cash today.
Well, if there's a store with power out, the EBT is dependent on having power. So if hopefully there's other stores in the area, but if there is not, then at this point I think people should be contacting 311 and other forums to see if there's any emergency food nearby. These are people I expect in power outage areas where the entire area is out.
Right. Are there most common questions that you're getting? Are you finding that people who HRA serves need help in certain specific ways most of all right now?
Yes. Well, many people, of course, are displaced from their home, and they're in the emergency shelter system. And, of course, there, at least on a very temporary basis, they are getting assistance. However, we do know that they are extremely concerned about what will occur when they go back to their homes. And certainly our program, our Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, if there are any people out there who are recipients of food stamps, they will be able to indicate their need for a replacement of food spoiled. I'm sure many people, I know people had food in their refrigerators and that food is no longer edible. We're working very closely with the State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance and the federal government, the United States Department of Agriculture, to do what we call a mass replacement for those people affected both in the evacuation areas and in the flooded areas to ensure that they will get some replacement food stamps. At this point, we're hoping as early as the beginning of next week, automatically onto their card, as you say. People can also file a request, although hopefully the mass replacements will be going out sooner than the requests can even come into us, and not everybody can get to offices, and we understand that.
And here's a follow-up that just came in that says, can't you use EBT at green markets? How do they do it? So the implication is if a green market is outside and doesn't have electricity, maybe they do it with generators, I don't know. How do they take EBT cards at green markets, and could stores do it the same way?
Well, they do have portable electronic equipment that helps them do it. So, yes, stores could theoretically petition to, you know, if they had generators, that would work, of course. But they could also, the state office that provides them with the equipment and the, they possibly could. But at this point, if they don't, they can't, and they would have to be the ones to initiate that. The store has to, you know, be the one to initiate that and work with the people who provide them with the redemption equipment. In the New York City Human Resources Administration, unfortunately, our task is to get the benefit to the client, but obviously it means nothing if they can't redeem it. So in those areas where stores can't take it, yes, the green markets can do it, but they generally do have generators. It is my understanding.
And there are some green markets open. There's one at Chambers in Greenwich that I understand is open today, so that might help some people in Lower Manhattan. And let's take another Lower Manhattan call. Michael in Tribeca, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. So I'm down in Tribeca. I've got food. I've got batteries for 2 more days. I run out of ice today. I can't look up online where dry ice is being offered in Manhattan. And if Con Ed is still saying it's 4 days for power from now, it's starting to get ridiculous. We need a schedule. If they would just tell us, okay, you're going to be 4 days, you're going to be 3 days. Even if it's an estimate, that gives us something to plan on.
Public Advocate Bill de Blasio?
I agree. And look, we've been pushing Con Ed for exactly that. And I think they're working hard and trying to get in a lot of resources, generators, personnel from around the country. But it has been very frustrating to not have a more specific schedule. We're trying to get something clearer, zone by zone, area by area, in the next few hours, and we'll put that on our website, advocate.nyc.gov. But I do think, bluntly, people should be conservative in their assumptions because there are so many challenges Con Ed is facing. One more thing on the dry ice situation. There's a real supply challenge there. So on the Con Ed website, coned.com, and also you can call them at 800-75-CON-ED. Again, 800-75-CON-ED.
And you know what?
Check on availability of dry ice before going to the locations as well.
So I can call because I have no internet service. So
Michael, in fact, I'm going to do better than that. Our auxiliary answer man, Richard Hake, just walked in and gave me the list of the 5 places in New York City where dry ice is being distributed.
Oh, great.
But Brian, there's a supply question. I'm sorry to interrupt. There is a supply question, so we're concerned.
So it may not actually be there? Okay, so in Manhattan, it's Union Square Park at Union Square East and East 17th Street. But you're saying, Public Advocate, that there may actually not be any dry ice when people get there?
Well, we're trying to confirm. Yesterday they had it. We're trying to confirm right now if supplies have lasted or when they're getting resupplied. So we do think it's important. We'll try and get an answer right now on mm-hmm. that timeline
okay.
from Con Ed for you right now.
And the other dry ice locations, and Michael, thank you for your call. I hope we gave you somewhat of a satisfying answer. In Queens, 121-10 Rockaway Boulevard, on Staten Island, the entrance to Great Kills Park, on Buffalo Street in Brooklyn, Walgreens, 532 Neptune Avenue between 5th and 6th, and in the Bronx, 1200 Waters Place at the entrance to the Hutchinson Metro Center, again, supply permitting. And Public Advocate, we see that Con Ed seems to predict that the power will be back on in Manhattan on Saturday. Is that something that you can confirm? I'm reading now from a release. Is this crossed the wire a little while ago, and it says it's on track to restore Manhattan service by Saturday. The company says its previous estimates for the borough are on target. The utility said customers served by underground equipment in Brooklyn also can expect power by Saturday. Con Ed stresses that customers with damage to their internal electrical equipment might not get power back when their neighbors do. By midday Thursday, there were about 649,000 Con Ed customers without service in New York City, midday Thursday obviously being right now. So this just crossed a little while ago. So there's some news. Are you confident?
Yep. I'm hopeful that that is correct. I want everyone to be cautious because, again, there are a lot of moving parts here, but that sounds consistent with everything I've heard the last few hours. We've gotten an update on the dry ice that FEMA is supposed to be bringing more supplies in for Con Ed for dry ice. So right now I think the supplies are low or run out, depending on the location, but hopefully resupply as early as today from FEMA.
Okay. Michael in the East Village has a question for Patricia Smith from HRA. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
Okay.
The reason I was calling, what I wanted to bring up was due to the Con Ed explosion that happened on 14th Street in the East Village. There were some reports on WNYC, actually, of a chemical smell afterwards. And the following 2 days, myself, my wife, and my 2-year-old, Ori, all had black soot sort of in our nasal passage, in our nose. No other effects other than that, but I'm wondering if there's been any other reports of this, or, you know, if there's any more information to come out on any, you know, contaminants that went into the neighborhood after that explosion.
Okay, thank you for that question. And I guess that's really for both of you, Patricia Smith. That's not really exactly in your can, but have you heard these concerns before?
You know, I haven't. Obviously, that's a very serious issue, but no, I have not.
And Public Advocate De Blasio?
First, we're hearing it, and we're going to try and get an answer again while we're on the show here.
All right, let's take another question, and this is from Janet in Brooklyn. Janet, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Thank you both for being there. It's such a wonderful show. I'm here in Brooklyn, and I keep hearing news about New Jersey, Rockland County, Queens, and I'm here in Sheepshead Bay in Wabash. I could see the ocean. I could see Trump Village across the street, which is a co-op of, I don't know, 5 buildings. I'm across the street. I'm in Wabash.
Mm-hmm.
They have lighting. They have elevator service. They have dry cleaning pickup. They have everything. It's as if nothing happened. And we have no lights. We have no water. I don't know. There's a large population of elderly people. Not everyone has family, children, you know, who could come and fetch them.
What is your building need, Janet?
Lights. Lights and water. There isn't any lighting in the stairwells, and I thought that was a mandatory thing, you know, to have it lit up every other stairwell, and there aren't any lights at all.
Patricia Smith, what can be done for the people in a building like that, or that particular building, especially when there are seniors who may really need that lighting? Obviously, you can't snap your fingers and make the lights go on, but how can we provide relief?
Certainly, if there is a building, and we can get that address offline from you, Janet, if there's a building where there are elderly individuals who can't get out of their apartments,
right,
and we think that potentially they are alone and have not been able to care for themselves, we certainly can dispatch casework staff. The city has other resources to go there. So if possible, I don't know if you can give that address to the people
we'll
on the radio.
We'll do that. We'll get it to you.
And we can get that.
Yes, I could give it online. It doesn't matter. I'm not worried. No one could really enter because the elevator aren't working.
Actually, I don't know.
No, we take it off.
We're going to take it off the air because I don't want to give out particular addresses.
Okay.
Where
absolutely.
We know.
We'd be happy
thank
to
you for being
dispatch
online.
Our staff.
Thank
you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
So, Janet, hang on, and we're going to get your address off the air, and we're going to get it to Commissioner Smith's office. Yeah, I don't want to give people's address on air, especially when they're calling up and saying they're a vulnerable
absolutely.
Old people there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Brian.
Because there are definitely individuals who might take advantage. Public Advocate De Blasio, here's a question that a number of people are chiming in with, and it's, is the marathon really going to go on Sunday?
Well, I tell you, Brian, I understand why people may be real concerned given everything that's happening. I have to be very straightforward. We need it for the economic impact. The city is hurting right now. A lot of people's businesses have been disrupted, tons of small businesses. I've seen them in places like Sheepshead Bay and Manhattan Beach, just knocked out, jobs knocked out. We need economic activity badly to get ourselves back on our feet. So at this moment, the marathon is on. Obviously, it would depend on what happens fully with the airports and everything else. But I tell you, we've suffered a huge economic blow. A lot of families are going to be hurting because of what's happened here. We need to start pumping money back into people's pockets. And the marathon accounts for approximately $340 million in economic activity for the city. I think we don't want to miss that.
Is there a risk of diverting too many city resources to making things comfortable for the marathoners that could be used to bring relief to people like our last caller?
I don't think we're in a position to make things comfortable for people. I agree with you. I think it would have to be a very stripped-down approach to the logistics. But I think to turn away so many people who are coming here, you know, going to spend money here, help a lot of businesses that have been hurt deeply, you know, to keep start moving forward. I mean, I am so worried about, and this is why we're pushing the point of people applying for FEMA aid right away. I can't tell you how many businesses I have seen in the Rockaways in southern Brooklyn that just absolutely knocked out. They're not coming back anytime soon. That means a lot of jobs with them. So we're going to need all the economic activity we can get, and we got to get those businesses back on their feet. So this money needs to circulate in our economy for everyone's good.
We will continue in a minute with more of your questions and answers from New York City Public Advocate Bill de Blasio and First Deputy Commissioner of the Human Resources Administration, Patricia Smith. And when the mayor begins his news conference, expected any time now, we will carry it live as our special coverage continues. This is special coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. I'm Brian Lehrer. We're expecting a news conference from the mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, shortly. I see that Janet Napolitano, the Homeland Security Secretary, seems to be about to speak in Connecticut, and we'll bring you that when she steps to the podium. I imagine she'll be addressing issues pertaining to the entire region. But in the meantime, we're taking your questions on anything post-Sandy related and all the answers that we can provide with Bill de Blasio, the New York City Public Advocate, and Patricia Smith, First Deputy Commissioner of the Human Resources Administration, and Amy in the East Village. You're on the air. Hello, Amy.
Oh, hi. Thanks. Brian, your show is a lifesaver right now. I'm a teacher, and I heard that the schools are going to be closed today and tomorrow, but that teachers are being asked to report. But since
tomorrow.
Since I'm in the frozen zone, I know that that information is being disseminated unclearly to a lot of people who don't have access. So is there a way that the mayor can make that more public information? Because so many teachers live so far from the schools that they work at.
Yeah, and Public Advocate, we've been getting a number of questions from teachers this morning, not sure if they need to report to their school. Is this mandatory if they're having, transportation problems or power problems that are of a higher priority, whatever is going on in their family? Will they be charged a sick day for that matter? So teachers are concerned about reporting to school tomorrow.
And for good reason. This is a very complicated situation, and obviously the logistics of getting there. You know, the original order that went out to city workers was go someplace where they could assist, like a local shelter, in immediate proximity to their homes. I think that order made sense because there was a great need for help. This one confuses me because I know teachers live all over the region, so I'm not sure. I need to get an answer for you again. I'll try and get it in the next few minutes on exactly what the alternative is if they cannot make it. But it seems to me a tall order, to say the least.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. And also, Brian, on questions like that, again, we're going to try and get these answers up either in the show or right online.
Sure.
There's a special part of our website, sandy@pubadvocate.nyc.gov, sandy@pubadvocate.nyc.gov. We're going to try and give the specific answers to the questions raised here, and we're specifically going to get an answer from Con Ed shortly on the health question related to the explosion of the generator on the east side a couple of days ago.
Good. And Amy, what are the teachers going to do tomorrow in the school? Is it clear to you what your mission
is? No, it's
not
clear because, you know what, and a lot of us don't have internet, which is why I'm calling in. We have internet normally, but we don't now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear. I just heard word of mouth that we were expected to report, so I'll be happy to report, even if it takes 2 hours to get there.
Right. Thank you for checking in, and good
thank
luck.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Here's a question from a listener, Public Advocate, who couldn't wait on the phone because the batteries were running out on the phone. And the question is, are they waiting to drain the subway before turning the power back on? Is there a connection between the two, that is, the water in the subway tunnels and Con Ed power to the city in general?
Interesting. I had not heard that connection. We'll check that and put it up on the website. I had not heard that connection before.